some things I may not know. There are some places I can go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, and all can desert and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, for God is real and I can feel Him in my heart. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, oh yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel His holy power. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. And oh, my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like you go. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I said, my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
Jesus has lifted my load. The trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebodes, but at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted loads. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. The passing days bring many cares, fear not, I hear Him say. And when my fears are turned to prayers, the burdens slip away. He tells me of my Father's love and never slumbering eye. My everlasting King above will all my needs supply. Singing I go along life's road, singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. When to the throne of grace I flee, I find the promise true. The mighty arms upholding me will bear my burdens too. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. For Jesus has lifted my load.
Amen. One more song.
Mary had a baby, ain't it that good news? Mary had a baby, ain't it that good news? Mary had a baby, he is the King of Glory. Mary had a baby, ain't it that good news? He will die to save us, ain't it that good news? He will die to save us, ain't it that good news? He will die to save us, honor the name of Jesus. He will die to save us, ain't that good news? Who is the baby? Who is the babe of Bethlehem? He is the Savior. He comes to die for every man. He is called King Jesus, Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Gentle Shepherd, Loving Prince of Peace. Mary had a baby, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, ain't that good news? Christ is soon returning, oh how my heart is yearning. Christ is soon returning, that's good news. Who is the baby? Who is the babe of Bethlehem? He is the Savior. He comes to die for every man. Mary had a baby. Jesus died to save us. He is soon returning. Ain't that good news?
The best news that you will hear all day or all of your life is that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That he was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead, and gave us victory over death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And defeat and death were swallowed up by victory, and Christ reigns supreme forevermore. I hope you believe that today. I hope you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you've been saved by the grace of Almighty God. Had your sins forgiven you, had them washed away in the blood of Christ, were born anew with a new spirit regenerated from on high. And I'll tell you, right when I get started here, let me just say this to you, that nothing energizes me more then when I can see that Satan is attacking me, when he is attacking this ministry, when he is attacking the work of the Lord, and it energizes me in a way, it really, my enemies don't realize, and the enemies of the Lord's ministry, they don't realize when they do this how much it energizes me. Like if I don't have too many attacks for a while, I might start thinking that I'm getting soft. That I'm not doing what God's called me to do, or that I'm not standing up for what's right. You see, God told me that I was going to have enemies. And I'm going to preach about this. Isn't it interesting? You see, I'm not one of those preachers that has to read an illustration book and give you somebody else's illustration. I rarely use other people's illustrations. The reason why is I have so many in my own ministry, in my own life, in serving the Lord, and and in the challenges that I face, that I really don't have to use somebody else's illustration, somebody's textbook illustration. The reason why is because I already have the live attacks. I already have the live stuff. You preach in the open air. You go out in the open air and you preach like we're going to do tonight, by the way, by the grace of God. So that's how I know Satan's mad at me. The things I do online, the things that we do here, preaching the Word of God in the open air, all those things really make Satan mad. And they make Satan's instruments of unrighteousness mad, his vessels of dishonor, his vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. You see, they get really angry and upset when God's men continue to do what God's called them to do. And Satan comes to try to hinder. Paul talked about that, didn't he? We'll get to that in a second here. But I want you to look at something, because it's interesting. I studied for 5 hours, 4.5 hours yesterday for this sermon that I preached, and the Lord just gave it to me. I mean, I was in a ton of books studying. When I expository preach, I like to do that. I like to study the text out a lot, and I like to read a lot of different men as well and trace that truth through the scriptures and everything else like that. Well, I'm guessing I probably use 15 different books when I study one phrase or one part of a verse or a whole verse. I don't have time to preach a whole verse. It would take me a long time in this chapter to preach one whole verse. So I preach portions of that verse. And I break that down and we talk about it. Well, in the midst of all this, God's timing is perfect. He knew when I was going to go on vacation. He knew when he was going to give it to me. He knew what needed to be done. So here we come up to this part. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, isn't that interesting? So God tells us and warns us that we're going to have enemies. And that God's going to prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's going to take care of me. He's going to meet my needs. He's going to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Right? That's going to happen. The enemies are going to come. And it is going to happen. As it has. And right when I'm in the middle of preaching on that, preparing a sermon for that, I get a ton of enemies. Well, I have them. They're already out there. But it's interesting to note that I get this message here from YouTube. Whoops, that was the wrong one. I get this message saying, oh, you're busted for some privacy thing. Well, it's the same joker doing it. It's the same minister of Satan. A minister of unrighteousness. It's the same one that's doing it. And Jonathan filed another claim about something ridiculous. That, by the way, no privacy was breached. It's so stupid. It's all my stuff anyway. But that's how Satan works. That's how he works. Right? That's the type of work that he does. He's always coming after the saints of God. But I think it's funny, the timing of it. It's also funny, the Lord's provision. God continues to take care of me. Continues to take care of the ministry. Continues to meet our needs. And that makes people like that mad. Because they work for Satan. They are the Alexander coppersmiths that do me much evil. The Lord reward them according to their works. So, that's who they are. That's what they do. And we're always going to have those enemies. I won't preach what I'm preaching on Sunday to you, but I'm just telling you, I'm just warning you, we're always going to have, so they're coming against this ministry. The video that they attacked, was a video telling you how you could find my broadcast on Sermon Audio. So he wants that video taken down. Satan does. So the thousands of people that listen to us on YouTube can't find us over here on Sermon Audio, or make it more difficult for them to find us. So that's what they're doing. They want to hurt the work of the ministry. They want to stop it from being done. But that's not new. But when it happens, it just reminds me that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that I'm to take unto me the whole armor of God. And to remember that I'm not warring against flesh and blood. See, I understand these type of attacks. When Satan attacks me, he does it in a way that I have no direct, immediate, physical resource to combat it. That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. To the pulling down of the strongholds. Right? That my war is a spiritual war. Because absolutely none of those cowards would look me in my eye. They don't operate like that. They are the Joabs. They're the ones that stick you in the fifth rib when you're not looking. That's who they are. That's how they operate. But don't worry, I'm going to get to my topic today. We got plenty of time. But that's how they operate. So they continue to try to... I mean, besides, Satan has been attacking my YouTube channel for months. You know, when I'm trying to use my YouTube channel, it's just getting stifled. I can tell by the numbers. They just bury you. They just bury it. So nobody sees it. That's how they work. So that's the goal. Paul talked about that. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Spurgeon preached a good message on that, man. I listened to that. I think I read it maybe, but I know I listened to it a few times. There's another one he preached. It's a really good one. When people attack you, it's called Fight the Battles of the Lord. Boy, that's a good sermon. You can listen to it on YouTube. Fight the battles of the Lord. Over and over again, Spurgeon, he would say that. Don't fight your own battles. Fight the battles of the Lord. And that's why I'm not really going to do a whole lot with all this. These attacks, I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but then I'm going to move on. Because I don't have time to fight and bicker with these people. I'm going to let God fight it, and I'm going to fight his battles. That's what I'm going to do. Because that's the best way to war against Satan, is fight the battles of the Lord. Don't get caught up in all the drama and all the garbage. Fight the battles of the Lord. That's what you do. You remember what the real war is. You remember that. I thought it was really neat that Sermon Audio's got this. Basically, if you send out a blog of your live stream and you tell what it's about, then it'll name it for you. When you go live, which is pretty cool. So then you can have the title in there and people can find you. Or, they can look at what they would like to. Now, if you haven't subscribed to our blogs, you should subscribe to them. Okay? I think it's like an RSS thing. I'm not sure. But anyway, when I go live, it'll go on there and tell you that I'm there, that we're live. So it's going to take a while to build up the audience on this side because people, they don't know we're even here. It's just people don't, you know, catch up to everything right away. It takes some time for people to figure out everything. So, anyway, this is a blog that I will do every day, or the day before, or every day, whatever, to let you know about the broadcast, or a couple hours before, something like that, so you can find us easier. Now, giving-wise, if you'd like to give to our ministry, you can do so right there, ways to donate. People write me sometimes, and they ask me, Pastor, how do we send you money? How do we get things to you if we want to donate to the ministry? I have a lot of people that like to donate from Canada and other places like that. They ask me, like, Pastor, how do we do that? Well, the first way right here is PayPal. You can do that, salvationpreacher@gmail.com. If you go there, you can support the ministry right there, and you can send it through there. If that doesn't work, or if you don't like using PayPal, you can mail it in to Pastor Cooley at 1030 Highway 3 South, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. That's our address. And you can find that also on our sermon audio page. We'll have our address. I think it's right if we go here. I think it's down here maybe. I don't know. Yep, here it is. There's the address. There's the mailing address. Right there. And then you'll make the enemies of the Lord mad that don't like you supporting me or this ministry. They don't do anything for the gospel. These men that are against us, they're felons. They have fake accounts, fake names. Anyway, they're mad because nobody listens to them. And that bothers them. So anyway, you just remember that. And I won't go on any more with that. If you didn't listen to Spurgeon on Loneliness and Rejection, you ought to listen to that broadcast. That'll help you. There's some people that are depressed and they're lonely. And Christians do get lonely sometimes. Christians do experience loneliness sometimes. Okay? So, you ought to listen to that. Be a blessing to you there. Try to help you with that a little bit, okay? Listen, if you haven't listened to the sermons. Oh, by the way, Wednesday night sermon. I don't think that's on YouTube yet. We'll have to figure that one out. But anyway, it's called Antioch, a wicked city like yours. And listen to that. I think it'll be a blessing to you. I think it'll encourage you and help you. Some of the other recent sermons. Excuse me. Let's go here. Let's see. Newest sermons. All right. Antioch, that's more expository preaching through the book of Acts. The Depression series. In the Depression series, many good ones for you to listen to that you ought to think about. Okay? Lots of good stuff there. Book review here, Sympathy of Christ. By Octavius Winslow. Good book there. Christian Depression. Devils and Desertion. Satan's Hand in the Saints' Depression and Affliction. I think there's a Spiritual Depression book. Spiritual Depression. I don't know if maybe I added that to that. Let's see if I did. I didn't. I need to move that over. All those over to that series. Anyway. I'll get to that sometime. But there's tons of them there. Tons of them for you to listen to. Always enough for you to listen to. Amen? Always enough for you to listen to and to be blessed by. Now, from time to time, I have people ask me, you know, about the present distresses that we are in. And they ask me, you know, Pastor, what should we do in this situation? You've got so many different sides of the spectrum in this topic. Let me see if I can find one that I thought was completely ridiculous, and it was a pastor. I'm not going to show you who he is, and the only reason why is because I'm not really trying to bash him, okay? That's not my point in doing this. I'm showing you what I believe is a wrong position to take and a wrong way to treat people, okay? So let me see if I can find that. Here it is right here. It was a famous YouTube pastor. And he says this, he makes this comment, which is totally off, it's totally wrong.
I said, if you call me a liar one more time, I'm going to take these work boots and I'm going to kick your teeth down your throat. Yes, I said it.
Okay.
So I said, if you call me a liar one more time, I'm going to take these work boots and I'm going to kick your teeth down your throat. Yes, I said it.
Now, let me help you. That's the wrong response. Now, preachers can say wrong things. You know, the other day in a sermon that I was preaching, I went, or actually it wasn't a sermon, it was before I was doing, talking to the church, and I, you know, made a comment about the mayor the governor I should have. I asked the Lord to forgive me. It wasn't, you know, anything, like that. It wasn't like hurting anybody or anything like that. It was just a, you know, I made reference to them acting like a boyfriend and a girlfriend fighting with each other, the mayor of Minneapolis and the governor. But the way I said it could lead someone to believe that they're actually boyfriend and girlfriend. So I needed to clarify, no, they're not. Okay, and I shouldn't have said that like that. That was going too far. You know, and it didn't need to be said. But, you know, in my clarification, I said, you know, the right thing. I said, no, you know, but I shouldn't have said it in the first place, okay? Because they were acting like, you know, anyway, I was just frustrated and I said it because I'm tired of tyranny. But that doesn't give me an excuse to say something I shouldn't. However, when you talk about a lady at Dunkin' Donuts doing her job and, you know, she's enforcing some mask rule, you know, she's just doing her job. And so I know preachers can say things, okay? I have before that I regret. But that's kind of going too far, though. You know, to say something like that, if you call me a liar again, I'm going to kick your teeth down your throat. Well, a lot of people are going to call God's people liars. I've had everything known to man saying against me, and I've said some things that I shouldn't have said in the past. And I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and I've asked people to forgive me when I've done it. So I'm not perfect. I've said things that I shouldn't have. I don't know what man hasn't. So I'm not belittling him or anything. I'm not going to show you his name or anything. I'm not doing that for that reason. Because I'm not trying to. Is the volume too low? Okay. All right, I'll turn it up a little bit. Let me turn it up a little bit. Sorry, guys. I probably had it too low. There we go. Okay. That might be better. There we go. So, basically, you know, we've all said things that we regret. I wish I wouldn't have said, things like that. And just things that don't need to be said. Do I really think that pastor's going to kick their teeth out? No, I don't think he's going to. I think he says things wrong sometimes, just like I have. I try to weigh my words out wisely, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just get excited and, you know, sometimes you can get in the flesh, say things you regret. That's being human. That's not an excuse to do wrong. We got to make it right if we're wrong. Okay? But let's start with, like, the mask issue, I think, is a good way to start with that. I think that response is wrong. Obviously, masks are a conditioning tool, an agent of change, so to speak. You know, but they're not unheard of. You know, they're not unheard of. During the 1918 Spanish flu, you know, they made them wear them. You know, so it's not new. People are like, oh, they're starting a new world order with it. Well, not quite. I want to be balanced, okay? Just hear me out. I'm not saying I'm for it all. And by the way, let me clarify something. I'm also not saying this is the Spanish flu. I did a broadcast in the beginning on the Spanish flu and said, this isn't unprecedented. They did this stuff before. Okay? So let me preface this. Number two, I'm not saying I'm for making people wear masks. I'm not saying that. I don't agree with forcing people to wear masks. So hear me out. I'm not for the draconian stuff. Number three, I don't believe this is a pandemic. I go on record. I don't believe this is a pandemic. Millions upon millions of people in the Spanish flu died across the world. Very sick, very bad. Is this that? No, it's not. This isn't even close to that. This isn't even close to that. So, but what I'm saying is it's been done before. I don't want you to think that, oh my goodness, this is ushering in the new world order because somebody has a mask on. I don't think this is the mark of the beast. Dial back down on the prophecy alerts and the 666 symbols and everything else for a second. Am I saying I like it? No! Here's the Red Cross back then. You must wear a mask not only to protect yourself, but your children, your neighbor from influenza, pneumonia, and death. Does it work? No, I don't think so. I don't even think it's good science. I think it's bad science. Okay? I don't think it's good science. I think it's bad science. It's tough on the guy who needs a tent to fit in his face. Anyway, it's kind of funny. Look, check that mask out. Holy buckets. Would you look at that one? That is ninja. Is that Nancy Pelosi? I don't know. Maybe it is. She's that old, it seems like. Isn't that something? Look at this guy. That doesn't look like a good mask. Man, they got the war masks on. check out the Coneheads. Now, do I believe they work? No, not really. I'm not condoning them. I'm not I don't believe in enforcing them. I don't think they even worked, probably. What I'm saying is, it's not new. Before eating, when you come home from work, wherever you come in from the street, you must wash properly. Right? So, look at those people now. That's a mask. You think you got a mask. Well, let me tell you, friend. That, to me, reminds me, that would be a Carl Winters mask right there. That would be the mask from Parts Unknown right there. That is exactly what that would be. We call that the Winter's Mask. We call this suffocation. Again, we call this suffocation. Okay? That's what we call this. Okay? Don't be these people. Although I have to admit that the ladies are dressed very modestly. Very modestly. Just don't be these ladies. They're gonna suffocate. Okay? Don't do that. This is the snorkel. I don't know what that was. But I don't imagine she had a lot of friends. That looks like somebody that has no friends. Because that right there is a machine for people that have no friends. That's what that is right there. So, now before you get it, maybe CERN changed it. Those weren't really people wearing masks. Well, maybe you've smoked dope too long. Okay? Because it's real. All right? It is real. Hey, look. And they even had guys like us. Extracts will be read from the State Board of Health bulletin showing compulsory mask wearing to be a failure. Nice. I love it. So this is not new. This is not Armageddon. All right? I'm just trying to help you. This is not Armageddon. This is not 666 Mark of the Beast. This has happened before. Now, again, are the circumstances the same? Nope, I think they're lying. I think they're a bunch of liars. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm trying to relate to you is the fact that this isn't the first time that masks were there. So it's not like, it's just we've never been through any restrictions in America in our life, really. For the most part. And I don't like it. And I don't agree with it. And I think it's wrong. But I'm trying to assure you that it's not the first time. And you may ask the question, Pastor Cooley, do you wear a mask everywhere? No. I only wear it when I have to get food. It's pretty much the only time I wear it. Why? Because I think it's virtue signaling, and largely I think it's a joke. I think it's a joke. I think it's as bad a joke as these two. We call these the suffocation masks. Okay? I think it's a joke. I don't think it's real. Right? I think this lady has a neat little bag on her head. I saw this one thing that was kind of funny. Halt the epidemic! Stop spitting, everybody! Quit spitting! You quit spitting. And look, remember those... Remember those, you see that now open? Do you see that now open for business? That's because their business was closed. Again, you're not hearing me condone it. You're not hearing me agree with it. But you're also not hearing me, if that lady says that, I'm going to kick her teeth down her throat. Why? Relax. Flu masks will be worn in the ball game. So, when they went to the ball games, now they're just shutting the ball games down, not letting anybody go there. Well, if masks are so good, then why don't you let them go to the ball game? They did. See what I mean? Stupid. By the way, I'm sure that one was fought big time. I'm sure of that. So anyway, I'm showing you this, number one, because it's not 666. Okay? It's not Armageddon. It's not the end of the world. It's not the mark of the beast. Do you think a mask is a precursor? No. Okay, well, let's look at it this way. Because somebody might say this. Revelation 13. Okay. And that no man, it must be the mark of the beast, a precursor to it, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Okay. Well, they're telling you you can't buy food unless you wear a mask. Well, actually, they don't, because if you just walk into the store and you just say, you know, I got a health condition. Underlying health. I have an underlying condition. Underlying condition. Thank you. Well, okay. And you can still buy food on Amazon without the mark, without wearing a mask. You can still stand out in the parking lot and have people deliver groceries to you in the parking lot without a mask. And you can still actually go into Walmart and other stores without a mask. People do it all the time. I have people in our church that do it. They just walk straight in. Do I do it? Not really, no. I have a shield. I have something called... I'll show you what I have. I have this. Shields of Glory. This is what I have. I have one of these. So, it's got the face shield, goes over the nose, and it's clear. It actually looks pretty sharp. That's what I use. And do I like it? Nope. Some people in my church, they don't. They just walk right in and just do whatever they got to do. I don't know. I just haven't really felt led to do that. You know what I mean? I just haven't personally. I mean, I have in some places. I didn't use it until the governor signed his little Nazi mandate trying to force people to do it. And yes, I said Nazi, and yes, I believe it's what it is. However, you know, I don't like it, and I'm not for it, and I think it's garbage, okay? It's just, do I want to fight about it? Well, technically speaking, this is America, and Dunkin' Donuts and all these other companies are private property that they can ask you to leave if they want to. You actually don't have the right to be there. You don't have the right to be there on public property. So, and that's their, or their private property, I mean. That's Cub Foods or whatever it is, they own their property. You know, it's their right to ask you to leave. So, they can refuse service to anyone. You know, generally speaking, they won't. Generally speaking, but you know, they have the right to do that. So you have to understand private property, and you could take your business elsewhere where people don't enforce it. There's some places like Home Depot and Fleet Farm and even Walmart that says, we're not going to refuse anybody. If they come in, you know, we're not going to refuse them. If they don't have a mask on, we're not going to turn away the business. There's some places that will. Do I think it's stupid that you go into Red Robin and you walk in and you have to have a mask on, and then you go sit down 5 feet over or 1 foot over and you don't have to have a mask on? Of course that's stupid. It's not even science. It's dumb. It's very dumb. But is it the mark of the beast? No. Is it a conditioning tool? Maybe. Yeah. I think so. But do God's people have to be wise and discern? Number one, that's your decision to make. If you're saying that that's the line that I'm drawing in the sand and I'm not crossing it. Somebody asked me when they were wearing the mask. That was in the Spanish flu. Right there. Those are all pictures of the Spanish flu. So, I mean, that doesn't make it right just because somebody else did it in history. I'm not saying that. I'm not condoning it. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not condoning it. However, you have to make the decision for yourself. Should I wear a mask, or is that the line that I'm going to draw on the sand that I just won't go to that store or whatever? Well, you're probably going to end up getting groceries. Not all of us have 5 acres of land or 15 or 20 or 50 out in the country somewhere where we can grow everything. Not going to happen. Not everybody is homesteading. Not everybody's living like that. It's probably not going to happen. So then either you're going to get your groceries delivered to your car. Like I have, my mom got her groceries delivered to her car. You know? And you know, she got hers delivered there. That's what she wanted to do. They didn't want to go inside. They didn't want to wear a mask. So they just said, we'll do it that way. Am I compromising by putting on the mask? Not biblically. You're not taking the mark of the beast. You're not accepting 666 if you wear a mask, put it on, and then go inside the store. That is a personal decision that you have to make whether you're okay with that or not. You know, sometimes we got to be careful not to be more American than we are Christian. More libertarian party type than we are Christian. Again, I'm not saying that's you if you draw the line in the sand, I'm not doing it. I'm not saying you're wrong. But you shouldn't say somebody else is if they don't have a conviction about it and they're just like, I mean, it's no big deal to me. I don't think it's a big deal. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a big deal. I don't like it. I'm not for it. But I'm okay. I mean, I'm not going to, like, lose my mind over it. I don't think I'm taking the mark of the beast or something. So you got to put it in perspective, okay? Yeah, we're uncomfortable with it. Again, do I believe it's wrong? Yes. Do I believe it should be enforced? No. Do I believe it's been done before? Yes, I can prove it. It's right there. It's been done all over the place. Do I believe it works? No. Do I believe it's just like a teddy bear for people? Yes. Do I believe it helps one bit? No. I do not believe it helps one bit. I don't believe it adds one layer of safety. But they still did it all over the place. During the Spanish flu, it was done. If you whip up enough, hysteria, you can make people do whatever. Right? So I just want you to understand that it's not unheard of. It's not like it never happened before. Wow, look at that. Look at that. While scores of passerby scurried over, H.D. Miller, a deputy health officer, shot and severely wounded James Wisber, a horseshoer in front of a downtown drugstore earlier today following Wisner's refusal to don an influenza mask. According to the police, Miller shot in the air when Wisner first refused his request. Wisner closed in on him and in the succeeding stray was shot in the arm and the leg. Wisner was taken to the Central Emergency Hospital where he was placed under arrest for failure to comply with Miller's order. See, that you want to talk about Nazi and draconian. That's Nazi and draconian, big time. You believe that? He shot the guy. So, it is tyranny. It is wrong. But it's not the first time it was tried. It's not the first time it was done. And it's not the mark of the beast. But you have to make a decision as a Christian, you know, how far. Okay, let's look at some scenarios here. I think, a good principle to look at. Paul said, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Is it a good idea for me to get in a fight and argue with the clerk at the thing because I got to wear a mask? Probably not. I can just walk out. Is it lawful for me to? Sure. But is it expedient? I'm not so sure. I don't know. That's a question you have to answer. Right? That's a question you have to answer. I have no idea what that is. You know, that's something that you have to determine. I can't make that decision for you. Nobody else can. But I've heard people say, I'm never wearing a mask. I'm never wearing one. I wouldn't say that. Because a lot of times if you go into a hospital and your wife's having a baby, you'll have a mask on. When you're around sickness, when I'm painting, when I'm doing other work, I'm putting a mask on. When I'm weed eating or working around dust or whatever the case may be, I'm putting a face shield on or something. I'm going to put that on, right? So there is a time I would wear a mask, probably. I just don't like it when somebody's telling me that I have to. You know, if I'm breathing in things that I shouldn't. Probably going to put a mask on, right? Probably going to do that. It's more than likely that's going to happen. So there is a time that I would. Now, what you have to ask yourself here is, here's another interesting question that it comes to. I find that people that are in private business, that own their own business, and they pretty much can make their own rules as far as that goes. Like me, I don't own a bit. Well, I work for myself. I mean, I have other business, but I'm a pastor for the most part. So the Lord is my boss. So for the most part, I don't do any of those. I don't have to work with people like that. I can pretty much do what I want to do when it comes to those things. As long as it's not out of line with the scriptures, right? So, I can do some things, and I don't have to worry about that as much. But some of my guys have to work in business. Some of our church members, they have to work in business. I'm not going to tell them, you know, I've heard some people say, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't care if I get fired. Well, if you got to feed your family, you ought to care. Because there's things that you're always going to have to deal with in life that you don't agree with. But they're not sinful things. Or you have to deal with the sin of others in the workforce. So, I find people that are in private business don't ever have to wear it when they're out by themselves or doing something. They don't have to worry about it. So they can take a strong stand and be like, I ain't ever wearing a mask ever. I ain't ever gonna do it. Well, maybe you don't have to ever. But don't look at somebody else and say, well, they're just a compromising devil because they're putting on that mask and they're giving in to tyranny. Well, maybe they got to feed their family. And you got to do what you got to do. Is that the same as if you don't take the mark of the beast, then you can't buy, sell, or trade? Well, it might be in the spirit of it eventually. Might be in the spirit of it. But is it accepting a mark of the beast? No, it's a face covering. Is it the trend of the world and the way the world's going to go? Most certainly it is. Most certainly it is the spirit of Antichrist. Most certainly it is. But I got news for you. So is this stupid phone. This phone is the spirit of Antichrist. How do you know that? Well, it's spying on us. It's reporting everything. So is this Apple Watch. So is this computer setup that I have. So is all of it trending down that line. That we can't stop. Oh, we could go be like the Amish who are lost and dead in trespasses and sins and going to die and go to hell. And the fake Mennonite movement. And we can go act like we're going to unplug from reality and we're going to go live in the woods somewhere by ourselves and never lead anybody to Christ. Never send missionaries out. Never send preachers out to preach the gospel. Never preach in the open air. Never evangelize. And number one, they don't have the gospel. Number two, so is all the social media platforms that the preachers and other people that say, I'll kick your teeth down your throat. And I'm not wearing that mask ever. Again, I don't like it. I don't think you should enforce it. I think it's the spirit of Antichrist. And there's going to come a time where we have to unplug from it. We've already given up so many rights just by being online right now. Just to listen to what you're doing, you've given up rights. You've given people your information. They've stole your privacy. They've done all that. Because that's the trend of the world. That's the way that's going. Right? But do I think the mask is that? No. It certainly can be a conditioning tool for that. But are we deceived by it? I'm not deceived by what a mask does or doesn't do. I'm not deceived by the fear porn that's being put out by the media, the government, the governor, the medical industry. I'm not deceived by it. What am I doing? Playing along with their game. It makes all of them feel better. It makes all the virtue signaling people in the around you feel better. Do I agree with it? No. Do I put a mask on unless I absolutely have to? Nope. Just if I have to. Is it lawful for me to fight it? Sure it is. Absolutely it is. Is it expedient always for me to do it? Nope. So that's the mask portion of it. Do I think you're compromising your Christian beliefs by wearing a mask? No. Just like I don't think you're compromising your Christian beliefs by paying taxes. our taxes go to a lot of wicked things. So did Joseph and Mary's. The Roman government was not holy. Not just. Neither is the American government. Do I want to have this response?
I said, if you call me a liar one more time, I'm going to take these work boots and I'm going to kick your teeth down your throat. Yes, I said it.
Do I think we have to be careful about becoming belligerent when it comes to it? I've dealt with people at stores. I've dealt wrong sometimes and had to ask the Lord to forgive me. I've done that too. And I look at these people and I think a lot of them, I feel bad for them. Because a lot of them, they're lost. And they're scared. They're afraid. Everybody's telling them they're going to die. And they're afraid. They don't know what to do. So they think that they're going to preserve their life and the life of others by wearing a mask. And they're afraid. Do I like it? No. Do I even believe it? No. I don't even think it does any good. Do I go out of my way to wear one? Nope. Most of the time I don't wear one, ever. But do I think it's a compromise of biblical principles to wear it? No. But that's a decision you have to make. Do I think it's wise always to make a big stink about everything? Not really. I think there's going to come a time when we have to really make our stand when it comes to things, where we absolutely draw the line in the sand. And that's when we have to really decide what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. That's when it's going to come down to the focus of, is this right or wrong? Which I believe is the next one that we're going to talk about. I believe that's one where I know I'm drawing my line in the sand. And that's when you try to put something in me. When you try to put something in me, that's going to change things. Right? That's going to make a difference. So, if I have to go to work and wear a mask, okay. If I got to provide for my family, okay. If I got to go get food, okay. Well, now it becomes a different thing when we switch over to this next one. Because now it's no longer something on me like this watch is on me. Right? It's Elon Musk's Neuralink. Brain computer interfaces like Elon Musk. Look at this. This is where the danger starts coming. Brain-computer interfaces like Elon Musk's could be hacked, letting thieves steal thoughts and memories, experts warn. See, this is us being set up to put something in us, okay? And this is where I think we have to fight and say, no. Elon Musk plans to link human brains to computers using tiny implants, but a new report warns the implants could leave us vulnerable to hackers. Experts say that cyber criminals can access these brain-computer interfaces to erase your skills and read thoughts or memories. Okay, so it's very likely that forced vaccinations, which we all know that vaccines are poison. Right? I mean, we all pretty much know that vaccinations, they really end up being poison for a lot of people, for everybody. I mean, they end up killing people. They end up causing autism. Right? They end up afflicting people. That's what happens. And that, I think, is the place that you have to draw your line in the sand. Because that's the time when you and I are going to have to... I was looking for something here. That's the time when you and I are going to have to come to a place that we're saying, you know what, you're not putting anything in me. You're not forcing anything in me. And then saying, well, you can't go to work, you can't do this, you can't do that. Right? Because then we clearly see. Now, am I saying that a vaccine is the mark of the beast? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, it's modeled completely after it and telling you that we're going to stick this in your arm, right? We're going to put this in you, and you have no choice. You have to take it. If you don't take it, you're not going to be able to work. You're not going to be able to do anything. You're not going to be able to function in society at all. You can still function without a mask today. But if they start, in my opinion, this is going down that road of tyranny. I don't believe in vaccinating children. I don't believe it. Now, you may, and you may have a different opinion on that. But I don't believe in vaccinating children. I believe vaccinations have been proved to be fatal in many children. They've proved to give them diseases. Or make them subjected to diseases. There's a lot of people that have flu vaccinations. You know? You know, some people try to say that this report, they tried to, the claim that flu shots causes false positive results on COVID-19, they're saying that's not true or it's misleading, it's unsupported. Well, I'll tell you something. What's in a vaccine? Well, we know poison. And we know that there's been perfectly healthy children. We know that there's been perfectly healthy children. And they were given a needle. And they were given vaccines. And some of them either died or got autism or were severely damaged by it. You know, so, you know, Natural News has some things. About vaccines, about understanding vaccines. And the dangers that are involved with them. Looks like my broadcast is being interrupted somehow, some way. So we'll have to see about that in a second. I might have to restart it. We'll see here. It says I'm still live, so we'll see if it's still going or if it's just chugging away. It looks like I'm still live, so hopefully that is. But anyway, the vaccines that are out there right now, we understand the dangers that are in those, that are involved with those. We understand how they are damaging to people, and it's basically like injecting poison inside of your body. And you got to make the decision. You'll have to come to the determination of, you know, do I accept vaccines or not? You know, that's a decision you have to make. No one can make that for you. However, what I would tell you, though, what I would tell you is that my answer is no. My answer is no, I won't let you stick a needle in my arm and force me to take something. And that's something that you have to make the decision on. Let me show you something here. Correlation coefficient, COVID deaths, and QIVC flu shots. The correlation between COVID-19 deaths per million of population 65 years old that have received influenza vaccines is real. Dr. Alan Cunningham presented the challenge, and here are the results. One source for vaccine data, influenza vaccination rate indicators. Here's the numbers right here. So you can see all the numbers. So, the numbers show, by the way, the flu vaccines are not even, they aren't even accurate, or they're not even effective, as you can see. Does the flu, Dr. Michael Murray, does the flu shot COVID-19 flu shot increased COVID-19 risk? Yes. There is evidence that influenza vaccines specifically increase the risk of coronavirus infection. Here's why. A phenomenon known as virus interference. Yes, it appears that the flu shot protects against influenza, and it appears some other types of viruses as well, but it comes at a price of actually increasing a risk for coronavirus infections. That is exactly what a study that compared the respiratory virus status among 2,880 Department of Defense personnel based on their influenza vaccination status demonstrated. The study concluded vaccine-derived virus interference was significantly associated with coronavirus. In case you are not aware, the infection rate, mortality rate in Italy to COVID-19 is dramatically higher. Why? Well, the standard answer of an elderly population, standard answers of an elderly population, the failure to implement social distancing soon enough just don't explain what is happening. My colleague, Dr. Alex Vasquez, provided me the valuable insight. In September 2019, Italy rolled out an entirely new type of influenza vaccine. This vaccine, called VIQCC, is different than others. Most available influenza vaccines are produced in embryonated chicken eggs. VIQCC, however, is produced from cultured animal cells rather than eggs, and has more of a boost to immune system as a result. VIQCC also contains four types of viruses, type A and two type B. It looks like this super vaccine impacted the immune system in such a way to increase coronavirus infection through virus interference that set the stage for what happened in Italy. Perhaps is the rush to a vaccine the best solution? Perhaps not. It could be catastrophic. Here's why. The attempt to create a vaccine of SARS-CoV showed that vaccines were able to offer protection against infection, but came with a cost of disruption to the immune system. This altered immune function led to severe lung inflammation when test animals were exposed to the virus. The final statement of the study cannot be highlighted enough. Caution in proceeding to application of a SARS-CoV vaccine in humans is indicated. How does the SARS-CoV-2 infect, and are protease enzyme supplements the key to creating our new endogenous antiviral protease inhibitors? The virus contains surface proteins that bind to receptors for angiotensin converting enzyme. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm just reading you what they said. As the entry receptor. These receptors are found not only on blood vessels, but also throughout the lining of the respiratory tract and lungs. The virus then uses the host cell's serine protease to break down proteins in the viral and cellular membranes to fuse them together and form a bridge to allow the virus to enter the cell. Antiviral drugs that are serine protease inhibitors are showing promise against SARS by blocking its entry into cells, especially those that line the lungs and respiratory and GI tract. Dietary supplements that contain protease, such as mucolose, sericea, peptidase, and bromelain, and fungal proteases exert significant benefits in upper respiratory tract infections by improving the composition and structure of the protective mucus layer. These enzymes may also digest the viral proteins when the GI tract put here is an interesting additional mechanism to consider. Anyway, so are there certain medications like blood pressure drugs and proton pump inhibitors that increase risk of infection? Yes, the body responds to ACE inhibitor drugs used in the treatment of high blood pressure by increasing the number of ACE2 receptors on cells. Okay, we're waiting to see if I can get back on here. Here we go, we're back on. All right, we're back on now. All right, sorry about that, folks. I don't understand why it does that either. I don't think it's my internet. I think it's something with Sermon Audio. I'm not really sure about that. But anyway, we're back here. So there we go. We picked up 32 people just like that. So sorry about that. Let me get back to where we were at here, wherever that was. There it is. By blocking the replicase, the virus cannot reproduce. It is not a matter of taking zinc supplement or getting it into the blood. In order for zinc to block a virus like COVID, the level of ionic zinc must increase within the cells. So anyway, so he is telling you basically, not so fast. You know, so what we ought to do is think about, before we let somebody stick something in our bodies, what that's doing. Now, is the vaccine the mark of the beast? No, I don't think so. People have taken vaccines for a long time. But you don't have to let anybody stick a needle in your arm. You don't have to let anybody do that to you. And that's something worth fighting over. Number one, it's poison. And they're practicing it. Right? How about this one? Here's another reason not to do it. Abortion opponents protest COVID-19 vaccine's use of fetal cells. So injecting fetal cells in yourself? Senior Catholic leaders in the United States and in Canada, along with other anti-abortion groups, are raising ethical objections to promising COVID-19 vaccine candidates that are manufactured using cells derived from human fetuses. Babies! Oh, they were aborted decades ago, though. Just sick cannibals. They have not sought to block government funding for the vaccines, which include two candidate vaccines that Trump administration plans to support with an investment of $1.7 billion, as well as a third candidate made by a Chinese company in collaboration with Canada's Natural Research Council. But they are urging funders and policymakers to ensure that companies develop other vaccines that do not rely on human fetal cell lines, and in the United States, asking the government to incentivize firms to not only make vaccines that don't rely on fetal cells. It is critically important that Americans have access to a vaccine that is produced ethically. No American should be forced to choose between being vaccinated against a potentially deadly virus and violating his or her conscience. So they throw the straw man up there. Well, this vaccine won't come with fetal cells. Maybe. FDA and senior White House officials did not respond to emails requesting comment on the letter to Hahn. In Canada, the health ministry has promised to respond to the letter to Trudeau, says Maury McQueen, executive director. Cells derived from elective abortions have been used since the 1960s to manufacture vaccines, including vaccines against rubella, chickenpox, hepatitis, and shingles. They have also been used to make approved drugs against diseases including hemophilia, rheumatoid arthritis, and cystic fibrosis. At least five of the candidates of COVID-19 vaccines use one of two human fetal cells. You think Christians ought to be a part of that? You think we ought to be a part of any of that nonsense? Nope. You ain't sticking that needle in my arm. You sacrifice babies. And then you want to stick a needle in my arm. With the results of it. Ought to make you sick to your stomach. In four of the vaccines, the human fetal cells are used as miniature factories to generate vast quantities of adenoviruses disabled so that they cannot replicate. That are used as vehicles to ferry genes from the novel coronavirus that causes COVID-19. When the adenoviruses are given as the vaccine, recipient cells begin to produce proteins from the coronavirus, hopefully triggering a protective immune response. The fifth vaccine, which was known as shown promise in monkeys, bunch of evolutionary baby sacrificing devils, the fifth vaccine, which has shown promise in monkeys and is headed for human trials as soon as this summer, is what is known as protein subunit vaccine. Researchers at the University of Pittsburgh use HEK293 cells to manufacture the coronavirus spike protein, a vital part of its structure which is used to trigger an immune response. The fetal cell lines are key to producing both types of vaccines. A vaccine scientist at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine, the vaccine lead developer. Their human origin is important, he says. Cultured non-human animal cells can produce the same proteins, but they would be decorated with different sugar molecules, which in the case of vaccines runs the risk of failing to evoke a robust and specific immune response. There's other methods to use, but they don't want to use that. They want to use babies. But Arthur Kaplan, a bioethicist at New York University School of Medicine, counters, there are better ways to win the abortion wars than telling people not to use a vaccine. These are long over abortions. These cells are decades old. And even major religious leaders like the Pope have acknowledged that for the greater good, it's not worth the symbolism to put the community at risk. So what are they saying? That the pro-life movement is a joke and the Pope is making millions off of it. Now, they didn't say that. I'm saying that to you. I'm saying that to you. That's what they do. The Vatican Pontifical Academy for Life declared in 2005 and reaffirmed in 2017 that in the absence of alternatives, Catholics could, in good conscience, receive vaccines made using historical human fetal cell lines. Oh, well, thanks, Pope. See, they don't really believe what they're saying. So if I'm going to draw my line in the sand, I'm thinking it's going to be right here. A vaccine made by the Chinese company CanSino Biologics was the first COVID vaccine to enter phase 2 human trials. Sure it was. The two U.S.-backed vaccines have drawn criticism from anti-abortion groups are on a short list of candidates targeted to get financial logistical support for the U.S. government under the White House's Operations Warp Speed, which aims to accelerate the development and approval of at least one COVID-19 vaccine. Warp Speed. Another vaccine that relies on HEK-293 being developed by two companies owned by the billionaire scientist and businessman Patrick Soon-Shiong. Let's see who this guy is. Patrick Soon-Shiong is a South African-American transplant surgeon, billionaire businessman, bioscientist, and media proprietor. He is the inventor of a drug, Abraxane, which became known for its efficacy against lung, breast, and pancreatic cancer. Soon-Shiong is the founder of NantWorks. Oh. We'll get to that in a second. Oh, a network of healthcare, biotech, and artificial intelligence startups. So he's a billionaire. He was born in Port Elizabeth, Union. I'm just curious. I want to look into this guy a little bit here while I got you here. Interesting, isn't it? Well, let's look at this one. Culver City, California is an American multinational conglomerate holding company that owns a number of technology companies in the fields of healthcare, commerce, digital entertainment, as well as venture capital firm. Particular technologies include machine vision, object and voice recognition, low power semiconductors, supercomputing, and network technologies. See, I think this is the one that's interesting. Well, this is who these people are. He's an American billionaire physician. So he's going to get more billions to set this up, and he's using dead babies. Living cells harvested from dead babies. Right? Man, I just saw something and I lost it. Where was that at? In early 2016, Soon-Shiong launched the National Immunotherapy Coalition to encourage rival pharmaceutical companies to work together to test combatants of cancer. He also met numerous times with former Vice President Joe Biden, discussed more ambitious approaches to fight cancer, including conducting genomic sequences of 100,000 patients to create a massive database of potential genetic factors. Oh, look at this. In early January 2017, as announced by Sean Spicer, then President-elect Donald Trump met with Sun Xiang at his Bedminster, New Jersey estate to discuss medical priorities. Well, no, isn't that interesting? Let's see. Prentice says, as they are choosing BARDA and the Warp Speed people, what vaccines to move ahead, they should at least recognize that there is some portion of the population who would like to alternative vaccine they can take in good conscience. Kaplan disagrees. If you're going to say the government shouldn't fund things that minority people object, you have a very long list of things that won't get funded by the government. From research weapons of war to contraceptive research. The Trump administration has restricted the use of human fetal cells from elective abortions to biomedical research. 1 year ago, it adopted a policy that forbids researchers at the National Institute of Health from using fetal tissues from elective abortions in their studies, and it imposed an extra layer of review on the non-NIH scientists seeking agency funding to do research using such tissue. But the policy did not stop either group from using decade-old fetal cell lines. Well, there you go. So if you ask me as far as where I would draw my line in the sand, I would have to say that it would be in the fact of somebody telling me they're going to stick a needle in my arm and I don't have any choice in the matter, and you're going to stick me with dead baby cells. Or they were alive. They kept them alive. They harvested them, from my understanding, from babies that they murdered. Which perpetuates abortion, by the way. Because there's big money in killing babies. There's big money in killing babies now. Right? There always has been. So, if you ask me biblically, that violates my conscience. It violates scripture. It violates biblical principles. And I shouldn't take it. Not even the mark of the beast issue. More importantly, it's how they're harvested, what they're doing with it, the fact that I'm knowingly sticking poison in my body, I'm knowingly sticking, dealing with the cells of babies that were harvested. Because the Bible says that we should choose life. You know, if you're not careful, I'll tell you, let me show you something. That'll just break your heart. But this is the direction that we're heading. When you don't care about babies, you don't care about sick people either. We are told euthanasia is compassion, but how compassionate is it when last year in Canada, hundreds of sick people were euthanized because of loneliness? What I just talked about on my broadcast yesterday, or Wednesday, about loneliness. Well, these people went into their doctor, told them they were lonely, and asked them if they could just kill them. And the doctor said, sure, we'll kill them. Make sure that wasn't playing anything. The country's 2019 Made Medical Assistance in Dying in Canada annual report found that 13.7% of the 5,631 Canadians killed by doctors asked to be lethally injected because of isolation or loneliness. If my math is right, that's about 771 people, or 64 a month, or 2 per day. Look why they killed themselves, or had the doctors murdered them. Loss of ability to engage in enjoyable activities, 82.1%. But that can be overcome. Loss of ability to perform activities of daily life, that can still be overcome. Inadequate control of pain or concern about it. You can give people drugs if they're in that much pain. Loss of dignity. Again, it's a serious problem, but can be overcome with appropriate care. Perceived burden on family, friends, and caregivers. In other words, people put themselves out for their loved ones' misery. So you have a parent that's going through something, and instead of wanting to, they were like, I'm just going to take my life because I'm just a nuisance to people. Well, that means you're not showing people love if they feel that way. Emotional distress, anxiety, fear. 4.7%. That's where it's headed, folks, in America. So it's about life. And that decision of vaccines, it's about life. So I think that decision is a way different decision than dealing with wearing a mask. Now, I'm not saying you're lost if you take a vaccine. I'm saying that if you do and you know how they're produced, and if that's what you're taking, you're wrong. Because we're not Catholic. We don't believe in situation ethics. We're biblical Christians, and we believe the Bible, what God's Word says. Not to mention the poison that gets into it. We can get into that someday. And the effective rate is not there. They're not effective. My brother-in-law in the Navy, he gets vaccinated for every stinking thing known to man. Every time he comes and visits us, almost every time, he catches the local virus and the local flu that's around here. Almost every time. Why? Because the vaccines don't work. They just literally don't work. Not the effective rate that they try to claim it is. All right, anyway, I wish there was a way you could write to me, and you can. You can send me emails at PastorCooley@iCloud.com or SalvationPreacher@gmail.com. If you want to support the work that we're doing, click on there. Click on that. Send a PayPal to SalvationPreacher@gmail.com. Or you can write to us. The address is at the bottom of the page, right here, of our sermon audio page, 1030 Highway 3 South, Northfield, Minnesota. How about some music before we go? I hope that makes sense. And you have determined by the scriptures how far you're willing to go. I hope it helps some people.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Need the cry. I cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds go forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe. Keep me safe till the storm passes, till the storm passes by. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Our most holy one, oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I've learned to know a name I highly treasure. Oh, how it thrills my spirit through and through. Oh, precious name, beyond degree or measure. Oh, wondrous name of Him. am so kind and true. My heart is stirred whenever I think of Jesus, that blessed name which sets the captive free. So much to me, that name still lives and will live on forever, while kings and kingdoms will forgotten be. Through mist or rain, will be beclouded never. Shine eternally. My heart is stirred whenever I think of Jesus, that blessed name which sets the captive free. No name on earth had meant so much to me.
All right, amen and amen. So we are about done here today. So you pray for us. We'll be going out this afternoon towards evening and preaching the gospel out there in the open air, and you just pray, please pray for our ministry, pray for all of our needs to be met, and pray the Lord would continue to bless and use and take care of us, and pray for Brother Jim. His father passed away. He went home to be with the Lord, and you just pray for him. The Lord would comfort him at this time, and you know, pray for one another, pray for each other's needs, and pray about all this nonsense going on right now with all the YouTube junk and all that kind of stuff that's happening right now. Just pray and ask the Lord to deal with that in His time and take care of it all. Anyway, God bless you all. Have a good weekend, and I'll be back, Lord willing, on Monday. From 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Central Time. And we'll have some sermons and stuff that go on Sunday. So you'll be up to date with everything OPBC is doing. God bless y'all. Have a good night.